I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, find verse 17. It's where we'll take our text tonight. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Been studying the last couple of weeks about the Lord sending out the 70. Those 70 there in the early church were sent out by the Lord two and two into every place that he would send them. And each pair that the Lord sent out, he had a place for them to go. He had a path for them to follow. And as they went, they would go and preach the gospel of peace to towns and cities and to people. And the Lord blessed them and gave them great ability to go and to do that work. And tonight we'll see the return of the 70 as they come back to the Lord after going to those places. And you remember that the Lord sent them out to places whithersoever he himself would come. And there's a great picture there that we understand when we go and preach the gospel to other people, our hope, our heart's desire is for him to come into their heart. That we would do the work of those evangelists, we would do the work of John the Baptist, that we would prepare the way for the Lord. We certainly know we can't save anybody, but we can win souls in the sense that we can prepare their heart, that they would cry out to God, that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so they've gone out, they've done this great work for the time, gone to the places the Lord's appointed, and now they're coming back to him. So if you're able, let's stand to honor the reading of God's word tonight. Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you for this day. We are thankful for the beautiful weather, Lord, but more importantly, we're thankful for your word, for your Holy Spirit, and above all things, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus, who died for us and rose again. And Lord, as we look into your word tonight, I pray you convict our hearts, help us to understand truths from your word, prepare us, Lord, that we can have victory over the attacks of the devil. And Lord, help us to rejoice tonight because our names are written in heaven. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight who's never been born again, their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Tonight I pray that they would call on your name and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. Help us, Father, to be obedient to your word tonight. Pray for the lost to be saved, the saved to follow you in baptism and serve you in the church. And I pray for you to get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We see the return tonight of the 70. The 70, verse 17, returned again with joy. Now listen, the Lord called them out and the Lord sent them out. And when they went according to the Lord's will, they were able to come back with joy in their hearts. And when you've been called by the Lord, equipped by the Lord, and sent by the Lord, and you're obedient to the sending of the Lord, then you too can come with rejoicing. You know, we could get up every morning and seek the Lord's face, spend time in his word. We can go out with the power of his Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We can do the things that God's called us to do throughout our day. And we can come home every night with joy in our hearts because we've done what God's called us to do. Isn't that an awesome thought? Too many times we put our head on our pillow at night with regret. We put our head on our pillow at night with our hearts full of conviction because we haven't done what we should or we've done what we shouldn't have done. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can have joy in our hearts because we've been obedient to the Lord every day. What a great truth. So they return again with joy. Now here's why they had joy, the reason for their joy. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And we know the Lord gave them miraculous ability. They could go, they could cast out devils, they could heal the sick, they could do miraculous things because, friends, they didn't have a Bible. The scriptures weren't complete. They couldn't say, look right here at Luke chapter 10. in verse 17. He couldn't do that. It wasn't done yet. It wasn't written yet. And so God had given those in the early church the ability to do things that you and I can't do today. But they had that great ability so that they could perform those miracles. And then they could stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And people would understand, if they didn't have the Spirit of God, there's no way they could do the things that they're doing. And so they believed the message because of the mighty works that they did. So they returned with joy. The reason for their joy was that the devils were subject to them through the name of the Lord Jesus. But I want you to notice that the Lord has a different kind of response. In verse 18, he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, this kind of parenthetical statement here, Jesus, they're rejoicing because the devils are subject to them. And the Lord tells us a little about Satan tonight. And I want to take just a little bit of time to talk to you about the devil. Well, we don't talk about the devil much here at Calvary because, well, I don't think much about him. But it's important that we understand our enemy. It's important that we understand who he is. The Bible has a lot to say about the devil. The Bible tells us about him. And it's important that when you go to war, you understand who your enemy is. You understand their abilities and you understand their limitations. And so I want to take just a little bit of time to talk to you about the devil tonight. There are some people who build the devil up too much and they overly fear him. They obsess with the devil. And I think that they make too much of him. There are other people who ignore the devil and they make too little of him and they underestimate him. And we don't want to do either one of those things. We don't want to build him up too big and fear him over much. And we don't want to make too little of him and underestimate him either. We want to have that right balance. And we need to understand that the devil is real. Amen. We need to understand that he is dangerous. Amen. And we need to understand that God has already given the victory. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." First of all, friends, you need to be sober. Be sober-minded. Be serious in your mind. You need to be vigilant. God has called us to be watchmen on the wall. We can't fall asleep at our post. We got to be on guard at all times. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. There are so many people in this world today who think the devil is their friend, but he's not your friend. He's your adversary. He's not your friend. Too many people have bought into the lie of the devil. They think that God is just trying to take away their fun and their pleasure, and the devil wants to give them all the fun and the pleasure. But he is not your friend. He's not trying to do good to you. He is your adversary. And you'll notice that the Bible says, "He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. But look at verse 9. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God says, resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Friends, too many people are quick to give in to the devil. God, by faith, will give you the ability to resist, to stand against the attacks of the devil. You can have victory. Not just ultimate victory in Christ one day in heaven, but you can have victory day by day. Let me just give you some truths about the devil as quickly as I can tonight. The devil was a created being. The devil, so many people have this idea that God and the devil are equal and God's the force of good, and the devil's the force of evil, and there's this epic eternal battle going on. But you understand something tonight, friends. God created the devil. He made him. He made him just like he made all of the angels. He made him just like he made all of the angels. There's some debate among scholars about when he was created. A lot of people believe that the angels were created actually in the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. A lot of people believe the angels were created very early in creation, in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Other people would believe that the angels were created later. Job 38:7 says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And so it talks about the stars and the sons of God, the angels, at the same time. Genesis 1:16 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So it could be that when God created the sun and the moon and the stars, he created the angels at that time. At the end of the day, I don't know that it really matters, except that we understand that God created the angels. More specifically, Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ created them and made them ministers of fire. And so the Lord created them, and the Lord created the devil. A lot of people are upset with God for creating the devil. Why would God make the devil? In reality, God didn't make the devil. God created a great angel called Lucifer, who chose through pride to rebel against God, and through his free will, he made himself the devil. He made himself the tempter. He made himself the rebeller against God. He made himself the father of lies. And so he chose to rebel against God. God created Lucifer, a great angel. And I want you to look with me for just a moment to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and 12. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12, the Bible says, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. I want you to see, you remember last week we talked about this a little bit as the Lord proclaimed the judgment of Tyre and Sidon. And we talked about the king of Tyrus. And this prophecy that Ezekiel gives is actually starts about the king of Tyrus. But it goes on and you find out the king of Tyrus is actually influenced by Satan himself. And we have this incredible description as we see him covered with every precious stone. We see him, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee that thou in the day that thou was created. Lucifer was created as an archangel of God, and he was created with incredible beauty. The devil was actually like a worship leader in heaven. He was covered from head to toe with all of these precious stones and jewels to reflect the glory of God back to himself. He was there to give worship and to reflect the worship of God. But because he was the most beautiful of all creation, he was lifted up with pride against the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 14, you can write this down and you can study it out. But in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 3 through 17, tells us more about the devil and how he was created in great beauty and how he would be cast down into hell. He was created, but because of his pride, he was lifted up against God and he was cast down. He is now today the accuser and tempter of men. He's the accuser of the brethren, the tempter of men. We find that the devil, and he's had the same tactics from the very beginning, hasn't he? We see the serpent in the garden debating with Eve. He deceives. He has devices. The Bible calls the wiles of the devil as he develops different devices, different ways to trick us and to trap us, the snare of the devil. He casts doubt in our minds. Yea, hath God said. And when he gets you to doubt, then he'll come with outright denial. God hath not said. He tempts us today with desire, discouragement, depression, despair. Satan is out to get you. One day, as he was lifted up with pride, he was cast out of heaven. The Bible tells us that a third of the angels went with him. He persuaded a third of the angels to rebel against God with him. He led them to their destruction. Those fallen angels are what the Bible calls demons that we see throughout the New Testament. There's coming a day. Right now, we can find from Job that the devil has the ability to go up and down. He has access to this world. He has access to heaven. You read in Job, in the beginning of the book of Job, how he comes before the Lord. And God says, what are you doing? He said, I'm going up and down in the earth. And you remember how the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? And most of you have studied the book of Job. If you haven't, you ought to study it out. But you see how the devil is restrained. He can only go as far as God will allow him to. And right now he has that ability to go up and down and to move in and out. And he has some freedom. But there's coming a day during the great tribulation where he will be cast out of heaven once and for all, never to come before God again except at the judgment. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, the Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. There's coming a day, friends, in the great tribulation that Satan is going to have free reign to work because the church and the Spirit of God that works through the church will be taken out of the way. The Lord's churches have a restraining influence on the devil. He's held back. But when the rapture happens, the churches are gone, the devil's going to be able to come in and cause all kinds of deceivableness and lying wonders, and people will be deceived. And many who would not believe the truth will have strong delusion and believe the lies of the devil. Now in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, during that time of great tribulation, Revelation 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And the devil, in the midst of that tribulation, will be cast out one final time, and it is going to be worse on the earth than it's ever been before. Amen. That's why it's called the tribulation of the great. That's why the scriptures tell us that it's a time that if God doesn't shorten the time, no flesh would survive. And the devil knows that his time is limited and his wrath is great, and the Lord says, woe to them that are on the earth. Why? Because everyone who doesn't overcome by the blood of the Lamb will be overcome by the devil. Amen. What does that mean? It simply means that if you know Christ, if you have Christ, you're saved. And if you don't know Christ, there's no hope for you. And friends, it's no different today than it's ever been. Either you have life through Jesus or you don't have life. And so we see that he was created, we see that he fell, we see the work that he does today, tempting and accusing the brethren. We see his future in the great tribulation, how he'll be cast out once and for all. And then we see in Revelation 20 that an angel comes down from heaven and locks the devil up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 1,000 years, the devil will be locked up in that bottomless pit. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will reign on the earth. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil will be loose for a short season. He'll have his one final rebellion, which won't be much. And then he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Look at it with me. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And by the way, isn't it remarkable that after 1,000 years with Christ ruling and reigning on the earth, that he can gather up an army with that many people who don't know the Lord, who still hate Christ? And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now listen, why would it take all the time to go through all of this? Jesus just said, I beheld Satan cast like lightning from heaven. Because I want you to understand that the devil is real. I want you to understand that he hates you. I want you to understand that his attacks in your life are real. Listen, Satan hinders the work of the Lord. Satan deceives people. Listen, you could take the time to go through the scriptures and you'll see over and over how he's at work. And listen, Satan just doesn't just work through demon-possessed people. When Peter tried to stand against the Lord in his preaching of his death and resurrection, Peter withstood the Lord. And Jesus said to Peter, a saved man, a leader in the church, he turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Listen, the devil doesn't just work through demon-possessed people. He can work through us if our hearts aren't right with the Lord. And certainly he works through demon-possessed people. And certainly he works to lead people astray. But God has called us, like he called the Apostle Paul. Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus when he was saved, he said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Listen, God is calling us to go to war with the devil. He's called us to charge the gates of hell, which cannot prevail against the church. He's charged us to understand that we have a fight to fight. And though Satan would resist us, and though Satan would deceive us, and though Satan would set snares for us, Listen to what God tells, what Paul tells the Romans in Romans 16, 19 and 20. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And Satan may have control over the things of this world today. He may be the rulers of the principalities and power in high places. And he may be deceiving. And he may be destroying lives. But he will not win. And when we are obedient to God, we can have victory over the devil. Not just ultimate victory, but victory day by day. Listen, I'm just trying to tell you that the devil made me do it. It's not going to work with the Lord. It certainly didn't work with my mama. And it's not going to work with the Lord. The devil's already defeated. The victory's already won. The war is already won. And there is no reason for you and I to lose any battles today. But we do. When we give in to temptation, we're allowing the devil to win a battle. When we fail to do what God's called us to do, we're allowing the devil to win a battle. We don't have to let him win. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In our text in Luke 10 and verse 19, his response is, the devils are subject unto you through my name. That's great. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And the Lord gave these men miraculous ability. Listen, I think this is important because some people do crazy stuff. God gave this early church this ability. The apostles had this great ability. You remember how the serpent, the viper, came out of the fire and latched on to Paul's hand? You remember how he shook it off? And the people there, you got to love them. You got to love them. Well, that man's some kind of wicked sinner because the gods have sent a serpent to bite him and he's going to die. But then he shook it off into the fire and he lived. And now he's not a sinner, now he's a god. Right? They're fickle. But that's the way they were. But he had that ability and God gave that ability early on to those people. I don't recommend that you go try to find a den of snakes and see if you can survive getting bit. Amen? It's not the point. The point is that God has given us the victory through faith in Jesus Christ over the devil. He's given us the victory. He's given us the ability to overcome and to win. And then he says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. I have seen Satan cast out of heaven. He has lost. I have given you authority over the devil and all of your enemies. But in those things, that's great, but that's not where your rejoicing should be. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm going to tell you, I think it'd be awesome to cast out devils. Don't pretend like you haven't met some people that you didn't think you need to cast the devil out of. Don't pretend like there's not some people that you don't want to go up to and put your hand on their head, slap them on the forehead, and see if you can't knock a devil out. That'd be cool. Amen. If you try it, have somebody video because I'd like to see it. No. I'm going to tell you, I would love it if I knew that scorpion stings and snake bites wouldn't hurt me. That would make my life better. This is weird. How many of you are scared of snakes? Like almost everybody. How many of you, if you know it's poisonous, then you're scared. Yeah, if I know what a snake is and it's over there, I'm usually okay. But if it's a copperhead or a rattle-headed copper moccasin, I don't like those things. I don't like those things, and I especially don't like it when they're there and I don't know they're there. When we were working on the house where we live up on the mountain, remodeling there, I was inside the girl's closet working on some trim, and I looked down and there was a snake right there underneath me. I didn't know what it was, didn't care what it was. What kind of snake is it? A dead one. Right? But here's what's crazy. I'm more scared of scorpions than I am snakes. Listen, I hate scorpions. Now, I've never been stung by one, and I don't intend to be. Anybody else scared of scorpions? Okay. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm more scared of a scorpion than I am a cottonmouth. That's no joke. I hate those things. They are demons. They're demons, and the Bible says so. I just read it right there. They're demons. I hate those things. And we moved up on the mountain, and you know what's on the mountain? They're everywhere. I hate those things. But here's the thing. It would be really nice if I didn't have to be scared of getting stung by a scorpion. It'd be really nice if I didn't have to be scared of getting bit by a snake. That'd be cool. I don't have that, though. But you know what I do have? My name is written in heaven. And that's so much better. I may get bit by a snake. I told you last summer, some of you remember the story because you thought it was a great story. I stepped on a cottonmouth. Stepped on it in my flip-flops. I lost 10 years of my life that day because my heart stopped. It was an awful experience. I stepped on that thing, and it's only by the grace of God I didn't get bit. Right? Amen. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. I'm telling you that we don't get to have the ability, and you shouldn't go out and handle snakes like some people try to do today. But we have our names written in heaven if we're saved. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't rejoice that you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Don't rejoice that you can cast out demons. Don't rejoice that you have authority over the things of the enemy. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Listen, the power that they had over the enemy was a temporary thing, but something that would not be temporary was their names being written in heaven. It's eternal life. Rejoice in that. Rejoice forever. Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. I've got a new name written in heaven. Not only that, but God has his books of life. Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a little bit of debate about the Lord's books of life, how that works. Psalm 139, verses 14 through 17 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Psalm 139 describes how God has you written down in the book of life before you're even formed in the womb. Before we're even woven together, he's got that written. I believe that God has a book of life of the living. And from before you are conceived, before you're formed, when you're not yet put together, he says unperfect. He's talking about not complete while you're still baking in the oven. God has you in his book. It's life in the womb. It's life in the womb. It's kind of important to understand today, isn't it? But I believe not only does he have a book of life, the physical life that he gives us, I believe that, but he has the Lamb's book of life, which is life everlasting. Your name is not in that book until you repent and trust in Christ. Why do you believe that? I would plead with you to study it on your own, but listen to me. Before I came to Christ, was not a child of God. I was a child of the devil. Before I came to Christ, I was not alive. I was dead. Before I came to Christ, I wasn't on my way to heaven. I was on my way to hell. The lake of fire was where I was headed. But when I repented and trusted Christ, my name was written in the Lamb's book. And when your name is in the Lamb's book, he will not blot out your name. Rejoice, friends, that your name is written in the book. But if your name's not written in the book, you have no reason to rejoice. You have great reason to fear and tremble before God tonight. The good news is, your name can be written there if you'd only repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name and he will save you. He will put your name in his book and you will not be cast into the lake of fire, but you will have now life everlasting. Tonight, let's stand together as we get ready for a verse of invitation. I pray that if you've never been born again, that tonight you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you are saved but you've never been baptized, you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and serve him in the church. If there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord tonight, dear friend, he loves you, he paid for your sin, and you can be right with him today. You can have victory day by day if you'll be obedient to him tonight. He's convicting your heart. You come right now while we sing.